I've often shared with you about being called to ministry. But what's it like when you're not? Acts chapter 1. After Jesus ascended into heaven, everyone was told, wait, 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 wait for what God was going to send. While they waited, they prayed and sought the Lord, and they said, we need to take some action. Peter stood up and he spoke among the other believers and talked about how Judas had betrayed the Lord and then committed suicide. And so he said, therefore, this is Acts chapter 1, beginning at the 21st verse, therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. From among these, it is necessary that one of us become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. And then they prayed. You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic service that Judas left to go to his own place. Then they cast lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, if you look in the bulletin, you will see that we have a guest speaker. Good morning. You know, when the apostles want to send out a speaker, if it's New York or Los Angeles, Peter goes. If it's Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, they might get James or John. If it's like Lake Geneva or Kenosha, Andrew, Bartholomew. Here we are in Bassett, and you get me. No, I'm not Matthias. I'm the other guy. I'm the guy destined to be oft mentioned in Bible trivia tests. They call me Justus. And yeah, I was one of the outer circle of those who followed Jesus. You know, Jesus said, whoever wants to be first among you must be slave, the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, to start this message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you do know the hearts of all. Speak to us about how prestige and prominence count for nothing, but that faithfulness to Christ counts for everything. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, you heard the story of what happened to me. When you think about it, I was with Jesus from the time he was baptized to the time he ascended. I was on the fringe, on the outside, but I heard him day after day after day. I was there, woke up a little later in the morning than usual, but found that Jesus was not among us. He had wandered off late at night. He often did that to pray. But when I got up, he wasn't back yet. After a little while, I saw him come out, and he said, "Gather around, I've got an important announcement. I prayed all night, and the Father and I have said that there are 12 of you who will be my select group of disciples." My ears were never so attuned listening for my name. I listened and listened one by one by one. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, Matthew, on and on. And I counted, and he came to the 12th, and my name had not been spoken. Well, there were quite a few of us, and yeah, I was a little bummed, but that's life. I'll just try to stay as close as I can. So I was there, saw a lot of miracles. Now, there was that time that Jesus sent out about 70 of us, and I was in that group. But I wasn't in the 12. I remember that horrible night. We had had the Passover dinner with Jesus, and he sort of sat off on the side with his 12, but I was in the room. Didn't get to hear everything he said, but the air was heavy. I mean, it was just, you could feel the air. The tension was incredible. We all went back to camp on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus and the 12 went off a little further. I didn't see them after that, although I heard that eight of them, because Judas had left, stayed behind, and he went off a little further. Well, folks, I don't know if you understand a Passover, but there are two things about Passovers. They run late, and I mean late as they can run late, and you drink 4 cups of wine. Now, that's going to do something to your consciousness level. And I conked right out until someone kicked me in the slats and said, "They've arrested Jesus. Get out of here. They're going to get you too." I have to confess, I bolted. I bolted with a bunch of the others. And we heard through the grapevine about the crucifixion. And we just sort of went, what do we do now? Well, I made it back to the camp area, picked up a few of my belongings, and just didn't know where I was going from there. Finally, a few of the 12 came by, and they said, "It's too dangerous for you here. We're holed up in the upper room. Join us there." So I made my way back and waited. And then that great Sunday morning where Jesus appeared among us, I saw him. I saw him alive. Did you ever feel thrilled and ashamed at the same time? I mean, I ran from him. And I never wanted to see someone or avoid someone so much in all my life. But he forgave us. He accepted us. He loved us. He showed us his grace. And then that day that he ascended, and we all walked back to the upper room. A few days later, they drew lots. And yeah, I was the fat kid on the baseball team, the one that didn't get picked. I shook his hand, pat him on the back, said, "God bless you, I'm going to be praying for you." And I did resolve to pray for him. And then when everyone else was shaking his hand, I kind of drifted off to the side. We continued to meet, and when things quieted down, Peter came up to me. He could see I was not happy. And he sat down and he said, "Justice, let's talk." And I said, oh, I'm okay. He says, no, you're not. You're lying to me and you're lying to God. Don't do that. I said, well, it is disappointing. He says, yep, I can imagine it being terribly disappointing. Poor Matthias, he's got a big job ahead of him. I said, oh, Peter, you know what I mean. He says, yeah, I do know what you mean, but I can tell you this. God does not always choose the best people for prominent positions. He said, look at me. I denied him three times, and he wants me to be the leader? I mean, if God had sat since the foundation of the world and worked out, trying to figure out who's the worst person for this job, he found him. I don't belong in this job. I said, Peter, you do great. He says, God does great. I'm going along. I could tell you how it really is, but just as we need you, we want you, we love you, and we know you're going to be a powerful man of God. I want you to start out, Justice, by showing that you're strong. Show your strength. You remember the several times people tried to stone us. Oh yeah, how could I forget? And then when they tried to stone us in Judea, Jesus and all of us, we went back across the Jordan and kind of waited for things to quiet down. We got this word about Lazarus. And Jesus waited 2 days. Yeah, I was always puzzled about that. And Peter says, but remember when Jesus said we're going back? And Thomas said, well, let's all go and die with him. When Thomas said that, you were standing up with your bedroll ready. He says, I admired that about you. You were ready to go to whatever it took. You were willing to suffer. Now, Justice, you have chosen suffering over sin. Isn't that crazy, choosing suffering over sin? Isn't it crazy saying, you know, I'd rather suffer than sin? I mean, what would you rather do? He says, Justice, you made the right choice. Don't look back. And don't let the jerks around you get to you. There's always going to be people telling you, hey, they rejected you, you reject them. There's always going to be people telling you that. Don't go that route. You know, Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, a righteous person who yields to the wicked is like a muddied spring or a polluted well. You know what? If you give in to them, they're going to hate you for it. We'll accept you. No, they won't. They'll treat you like dirt. Don't go that route. Just keep an eternal view. Because one day the people who are giving you grief, they're going to have to give an account to God. And I wouldn't want to be in their sandals. I can tell you that now. You saw the risen Christ, Justice. And you know one thing, that death doesn't get the last word. I had to remember that. I remember that when people looked on Jesus, they judged him as dead and gone. I'm sure that some of us are going to suffer persecution and death, and everyone around is going to say they got what was coming to them and they're gone now. They don't get it, that God sees things differently. You know, I remembered at that time the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said that God would destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth. So Peter said, Justice, show your strength. Stay strong. So one other thing, Justice, show your love. Show your strength and show your love. The going is tough, and you're going to need to be disciplined and prayerful. It's not easy. I'm going to need your prayers. Matthias is going to need your prayers. Andrew's going to need your prayers. We are going to need your prayers, and you know what we're going to need? We're going to need your forgiveness. I said, Peter, forgiveness? He says, yeah. Because let me make you a golden promise. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And I'm going to need you to forgive me. So practice hospitality. Yeah, I already invited Matthias to dinner. Good man. Because when the going gets tough, we need to double our efforts. Love is to be the binding force between us. I don't know if you were sitting close enough to hear when Jesus said it, Justice, but he said this. He said, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. He says, now get this. Get this, Justice. This is good. He said, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. They're going to know us because we love each other. Jesus gave the world, the pagans, the idolaters, he gave them carte blanche to judge us whether we're followers of Christ. By this will all men, those on the outside, know that you're Christians because you love one another. He says, Justice, keep the love strong. And I promised him I would. I swallowed a whole lot of pride that day. Had plenty of it to swallow. But I remember that Peter told me to show my strength and to show my love. And he said, Justice, don't look on this as saying that you don't have a gift from God. You do. You've been gifted by God, and we need your gift. You're important in the kingdom. Use your gift as a steward. It's not that you own the gift, but you are the manager of it. Use it to glorify God. God has empowered you to proclaim what you know, to speak the very words of God. You remember the things Jesus said. Tell others what Jesus said. And he's given you the power to glorify him. Well, a lot of you don't know this, and it's not in the Bible, but I was later chosen to be the bishop of Eleutheropolis. Yeah. You know, when they told me that I was going to Bassett, I didn't know where that was either. So I guess we're even, right? Yeah, Eleutheropolis is the Bassett of Israel, okay? So I guess I feel right at home. So Peter told me to show your strength, not to let the jerks get to you, but to realize that even death doesn't have the last word, so the jerks certainly don't. He said to show your love, to practice hospitality when the going got tough, to double your efforts with discipline and prayer. And then he said to use the gift God has given you. Show your gift and glorify Jesus through it. And I said, Peter, those words helped a lot. I really want to thank you for them. He said, don't. Don't thank me for them. He said, in fact, Justice, I want to thank you. Because I needed to hear the things I told you. And I'm probably going to have to write them down someday and tell someone else. Now, you're all Gentiles, but it's customary for us Jews, when we read the Scripture, to cover our heads. As Peter said, he'd have to write those things down. 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same resolve, because the one who suffered in the flesh has finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing the will of the pagans, carrying on an unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousings, and lawless idolatry. You know, in regard to this, they are surprised that you don't plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they slander you. Well, they will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. And for this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged by men in the fleshly realm, they might live by God in the spiritual realm. Well, now the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-headed and disciplined for prayer. Above all, keep your love for one another at full strength, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift they have received, everyone should use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, his speech should be like the oracles of God. If anyone serves, his service should be from the strength God provides, so that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Are you someone who hasn't been called? Then you're believing a lie. I'm older. God hasn't called me to anything. You're believing a lie. I'm too little to get called by God. You're believing a lie. I'm not educated. You're believing a lie. God has gifted you, called you, maybe not to prominence, but to faithfulness. I'm looking out over a congregation who will probably go unnoticed by the world. You think that matters in the eternal state of things? Do you think the temporary matters when there's an eternity? I've spoken to people of prominence. Their words will be forgotten. I've met a man who was crucified. His words live forever. And now Jesus calls us to not listen to the voices of the world, but to hear his voice calling us over the tumult of this world. Follow me.